去。
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, welcome to my couch. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and actually, it's not a couch. Maybe I should change that to on the chair. You're usually sitting across from me on the couch in my office. That's the way it works, and that's where we got our name. From our owner creator, Sam. But I think it's very cool. We're talking about a subject today that a lot of people kind of push away and go, oh, that's woo-woo stuff. It's about sacred geometry. What makes this so sacred? You're going to learn a lot today, I think. So don't go anywhere. Hang in there with me. Of course, you can see this on a rerun, but this is really cool stuff, and you want to capture it live. You can also email me if you'd like, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com during the show, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com if you have questions or comments, and I don't care. It's all good. So let me ask you something. How does sacred geometry actually impact or play out in our human lives? Are those folks, the old pyramid people who used to sit under pyramids? I'm talking about the Druids, the Mayans, the ancient Egyptians. How about Leonardo da Vinci and his art? He was fascinated with sacred geometry and mathematics. How about psychiatrist Carl Jung? How about all the mathematicians and scientists who I speak to, and books you can read, countless books out there about geometry? It's in everywhere. It's in our plants. It's in our bodies, it's in our DNA and our cells, fractals. It is all about geometry. And once we get to understand it and know what it's about, then we can become more enlightened. And actually, speaking about enlightenment, today my special guests, and let's bring them on, are Gail and Gregory Hogue. Hi, guys. Welcome to the couch.
Thank you. Hi, Michelle.
Oh, nice to have you guys here.
Thank nice you. To be on a couch for a change.
I hear ya. Listen, this book was amazing, and we're going to be talking about it. Your latest book's called Sacred Geometry, the Universal Language of Divine Alignment. Now, stay here, guys, because you're going to learn a lot about why and where it is all about. That's what everything is about. And if okay, I'll just give a little bio here, a quickie. So Gail and Gregory have been teaching people for nearly 40 years to help them understand the hidden structure of humans, how modern life, and how this blocks us from evolving to our higher potential. What are we all encased in right now in our own little fog zones? Well, they're going to reveal the hidden wisdom of sacred geometry, which is found throughout the universal and higher dimensions, as I mentioned. And it provides people with the tools to really transform their lives. So you guys are amazing. You've pioneered the groundbreaking technologies and new discoveries and to help tens of thousands of people over the years harness the power of divine energy. We're going to talk all about that in your book. So I will be quiet now because I can give you guys accolades for... Yeah, in the next half an hour, I can talk about your bio and what you've done. But let's jump into your book and find out about what really is sacred geometry so our listeners can understand what we're talking about here.
Thank you. Thank you, Michelle. You know, I always like to start out and sort of ease people into it. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the truth is that a lot of us had experiences in school with mathematics, right, with geometry classes, all that, that were not captivating. Yeah. You know, they may have been
right.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's important for us to be able to put this into a whole different category.
Right.
Because what this is about that's so important and fascinating is that it helps us understand the foundation of our universe.
Yes.
You know, it's not woo-woo to say that everything is energy, right?
Right.
When you go into quantum physics and you really understand science, you realize that everything is energy, space. There's only a very small amount that's actual physical structure. And yet that physical structure is what we pay a lot of attention to, right? So that structure has to find its way into moving from energy into form in a very precise, organized way. That is very mathematical, very geometrical. And it has to be something that is dependable, that works over and over and over again, whether it's in the cells of our body or whether it's in the way the galaxies are organized or it's in the harmony of the way that everything in nature works and works together.
Right.
All of it is based on very precise rhythm, cycle, measure, all kinds of things, frequency.
Yes.
So, you know, those of us who've, you know, from little tiny beings who have had great, curious, inquisitive minds would walk around this beautiful land and go, wow, how did this get here? I want to understand it more.
Sure.
So, you know, my background is in the arts. And so I was one of those little kids who would walk around wanting to understand things, look into things more deeply, you know, see the light and the color and all the good stuff. And as I got older, I started to realize, actually, one of the people that helped me realize all of this was the great wizard Buckminster Fuller. You know, he's the one who created the geodesic dome. And he had a way of seeing universe that was very geometrical.
Right.
And as he wrote about it and spoke about it, I got very engaged. It made real sense that energy wants to come in a way that is efficient and, you know, will keep working and not only work in just one simple way, but keeps creating more and more diversity and elegance and, you know, magnificence
in
the way that it's created. And that's what sacred geometry explains to us. It's the foundation of all creation.
Yes.
And, you know, and within that, it's not just an abstract thing.
Yes.
Within it, it's held in the embrace of consciousness.
Yes. Yes.
And here's where I'm going to get woo-woo.
Okay.
And that consciousness, my dear, is love. So we are all created and held in love in these absolutely phenomenal patterns. And, you know, the ancients understood. I love that you mentioned Leonardo da Vinci. You know, he's actually, you know, more modern than some of the many that built their temples, their structures, their sacred spaces.
Yes.
Understanding.
Yes.
That when you build in a way that resonates with how creation is formed, then you're connected.
Yes.
And you know what? As human beings, we are meant to be connected.
Right.
So they would create these temples and these places so that people would be able to access all the different qualities and levels of who they are.
Right.
Because we're much more than just this physical body.
Yes.
And some of the names and labels that we place on ourselves.
God, so, that's so true, Gail. My gosh.
So that's kind of a, you know, a broad way of looking at it. Mm-hmm. And then Gregory, his passion is to take us down the road into the specifics and the mathematics and geometry of what all of this really is.
Isn't that? Thank you so much for that beautiful explanation. And by the way, guys, in case you just tuned in, talking to Gail and Gregory Hogue, they're the authors of a fabulous new book, fascinating book. I couldn't put it down because I've always been interested in shapes and geometry and not too good at algebra or calculus, but was really into geometry. The book's called Geometry, the Universal Language of Divine Alignment. And you learn a lot about, you know, geometry and what that is and how it comprises in our everyday life. We don't realize just sort of a random thing I wanted. And I'm sure you guys have heard about this gentleman. He's been on lots of talk shows who actually was, I believe, assaulted and hit in the back of his head years ago. You know, people are in comas and then they wake up and they have these kind of super brain powers. This gentleman has been in the news. Now, after he has healed, He sees everything in fractal patterns, everything, every doorway, every chair, every person in a geometric shape. He sees plants. I mean, it's like super brain opening up to see who we really are. And I wish I'd captured his name just before we went live. So I'll do a little research while we're talking, but that is a real thing. This guy's not crazy. I mean, he's seeing exactly what scientists have said for mm-hmm. millennia, that everything is a fractal pattern. Everything is sacred geometry. And it's sacred because it's connected to all of us, inward and outward, right? In the universe.
Absolutely.
It's sacred because it is the pattern, it is the geometry that allows energy to flow. Yes. And so when you can mimic the way universe does things and bring it into your environment, and that's what a lot of the Renaissance churches, what happened at Stonehenge, you mentioned the pyramids, they mm-hmm. actually were moving energy because of their shape. And the shapes and the angles and the particular dimensions and the materials, it allows energy to flow. And that's really how the universe moves energy from one place to another. It's constantly in this flow, and it's through the harmonics of resonance, like a C tuning fork will start to resonate with a C tone
right
when it's played. And right. So what this gentleman who sees fractals,
yes,
it's an interesting thing how we discover something, like a mathematician comes up
yes.
with fractals, and then we go, oh, and this, now we can understand a little more about the universe. Just like holograms, I mean, we couldn't define that aspect of universe until we invented holograms, and then we discovered, oh, you can
yes.
take a tiny piece of this picture,
right.
and it contains the whole picture.
Yes,
and you
exactly.
cut it and you make it smaller, 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 and still the whole picture is there. Maybe it's not as defined. Maybe it's not as sharp.
Right.
But everything is always there, no matter how small you go in a hologram. Wow. And yet it was Rumi, I think over 400 years ago,
yes.
that said, you're not a drop in the ocean. You
right.
are the ocean in a
yes.
drop.
Wow, you are all part. Yes, you are
yeah.
part of one. Yes.
And so
yes.
that's the whole hologram understanding.
Mm.
And now we understand Rumi a little better.
Right.
You know? And so it is with fractals.
Mm.
And the interesting thing about fractals is that there are patterns that exist. And yet, if you move down into a closer view, or maybe you're in a more expanded view,
yeah.
you lose the pattern for a while,
right?
And then you move into another plateau where everything coalesces again
right.
into a pattern.
Yes.
So it's
right.
like chaos, pattern, chaos,
yes.
pattern,
yes.
chaos, pattern. And, you know, a lot of it is, what do we choose to focus on? And what is our focus, really? Because in our book, we talk about the fact that human beings are a lot like an iceberg in the sense that most of us is hidden.
Right.
And it's hidden on these invisible levels that actually are other dimensions. And that's what happens around the physical body, is a field that sometimes
mm-hmm.
is referred to as the aura, the
mm-hmm.
energy
mm-hmm.
field.
Mm-hmm.
And yet when some people can actually see that field, and what they see in it are the colors that are reflecting the emotions of the physical body. So it's like we all have these things we call emotions that we feel that govern our sense of the way we look at the world. And yet a lot of that exists around the physical in an area where some people can see it, most people can't.
Yes.
But
yes.
The interesting thing is what we've discovered in our work is that the emotions that are generated by fear, which is really most of the survival emotions of the human being, you know, the fear, the sadness, the guilt, the anger, that hangs out around us, that forms like a thick wall that makes it difficult for that higher perspective, that higher love, that unity, that sense of togetherness that we want to feel. It is so difficult to touch it and tap into it because we are blocking it with our fears.
And that is so true.
And so that's what we've been doing with our sacred geometric tools.
Right.
Just finding ways to create resonant fields that can break through that.
Right.
And allow human beings to expand into the bigger part of who they are.
Wow, that's amazing. To your point, you know, some people may, you know, tune in or say, oh, well, this is this whole thing about energy and all. You know, I've spoken before about the scientific tests that the Institute of Heart Math have done for years, measuring, as you talk about the aura, measuring people's frequencies, which can expand to 3 meters, which is about 9 feet outside. And they've tested people's thoughts, whether they be fears, joy, whatever they are. And they've seen different frequential patterns that are expanding out from their bodies. They've measured them. And you are so right. By the way, and you guys know this in your book, you talk about it. We're all picking up on each other's, if you want to say the energy or the frequential patterns, especially if we're open to this kind of thing. So to your point, absolutely, this is scientific and absolutely. And they see it and measure it in frequencies, which are sacred geometry in a way. I mean, you know, it's just, everything is that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You know, there have to be organizational principles, right? I mean, even in business, right? You need, if you don't have organization in business, you have chaos, right?
Right.
So what are those organizational principles? Well, you need to have them in the universe, right?
Sure.
So why is it it's not the least bit woo-woo? You know, one of the problems, you know, like when you're talking about tools, you know, there's all these different tools that can measure like how fast you go, the velocity, you know, different things that we seem to be more fascinated with. But when it comes down to, do we have tools that can really measure the frequency that you're operating at right now? It's a little harder to find something then, right? And it is much more, I think, difficult to find those tools. But like, I love the work that is being done with brainwaves. So that they can show that there's different things that happen in the brain when you're thinking different thoughts or when you're meditating, things like that. So there's lots of stuff that's out there more and more. And I think when we get off of this thing of, you know, calling things woo-woo, which sort of like minimizes what it is.
Sure it does. A lot of it does. Absolutely.
And instead say, you know, I think we've ignored something for a while.
Sure.
Let's call that in so that we can better understand ourselves and our environment. You know, I don't think any of us can feel as if the education that we've had has really mastered our ability to navigate this dimension. I think we've been pretty limited.
I agree.
So we need all of this. And, You know, one of the things we talk about in our book, Michelle, is that we are multidimensional beings. And so that's not that's not a woo-woo thing. What it's basically saying is there's so much more to us than what meets the eye. Well, isn't that true?
Goodness,
we're all carrying around creativity. We're carrying around ancestral heritage. We're carrying around emotions. We're carrying around passions, all of these things. And there's no equipment that's going to measure that very well. That's all part of us.
It's
and
true.
I think something that people are longing for more and more these days is understanding their connection to other and to those higher levels, to their spiritual world. That's not a religious thing, but it is understanding that there is a higher intelligence that we're capable of accessing.
Yes.
It's a wonderful, wonderful part of who we are.
Right.
You know, even like, you know, one thing we talk about is that birds have different ways of seeing than we do. Their eyes are equipped to see different frequencies than what we can see. So what might look like just a gray bird to us might be the most divinely colored bird to another bird, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
it's all based on our equipment of what we have to perceive what's out there.
Right, so, right, exactly.
Yeah.
Colors and energies and things like that. And those children, you hear about the children, and I don't know if you and Greg, Gail, specifically had these situations. There must have been something when both of you were starting out very young, or maybe your soul's journey was to really share this information, but you've read so, and you probably know these people who as children have imaginary friends, and they see these beings, whatever they're talking to. Sure, a lot of kids have imaginary friends. I had a friend, but I think, you know, there's a difference between a psychological friend who you want because you don't want to be lonely and the reality of whoever that being is coming to see you, whether I believe in it. I've talked to many medical doctors who see energies after a patient has passed, many of them, and or whatever that energy is. But that's what I'm addressing, actually, is what you were talking about, Gail, is that ability to see other things that are not in our reality.
Definitely.
And that which is within us. I believe in a soul. I believe that we all have energies and we all have lessons we need to learn in this life. So in your book, you really roll that out beautifully. And the book's, by the way, called Sacred Geometry, the Universal Language of a Divine of Divine Alignment, Gregory and Gail Hogue. And it's brilliantly written. It really, I'm fascinated with, well, you know, it's so cool how you begin the first two chapters with the idea of consciousness. And how is consciousness related to the idea of sacred geometry? Maybe you can get into that. I know you touched on it earlier, but what is consciousness? I mean, we're all, it's how I think right now. What is that? It's my frontal lobe activity. I'm in beta consciousness, but I like to live in alpha or theta, actually. Right?
Well, you know, that's it. We define often consciousness in terms of our brain, in terms of our head.
Right.
And even the brain itself, many scientists are beginning to understand it's a non-local phenomena.
That's right.
Actually, we see the heart not as the source of information, but a portal to higher information.
Absolutely.
So we move through the heart as a doorway, and then we can access so much information on the higher dimensional levels
that
then can come and use the heart and the brain as an anchor for that information so that you can operate the physical body. But it's almost like we are not just this physical body. That's what we mean by the higher dimensional aspects of our beingness.
Yes.
And from those higher dimensional aspects, we can look back at the third dimensional personality. It gives us a lot more freedom. We don't have to take this character so personally. And that's, you know, as someone that listens to people on the couch, Michelle, I'm sure you see people get very caught up in their character, in what their character is doing. And if we can step back and not take it so personally, what other people think of us, what other people say to us, just look at ourselves as playing a part in this play. The way I did it yesterday was this way. The way I'm doing it today is now this way. And none of it really impacts the core of who I am.
Right.
That love at the essence of my being. So consciousness is an expansive thing. It's like we often define it as, oh, he's knocked out, he's unconscious.
Right.
But it's more than just being unconscious in your physical body.
Yes.
It's how consciously are you reacting to everything else? And consciousness itself, we start out talking about it at the beginning of our book because we see it as a more definitive way of describing source, describing God.
Yes.
All that is.
Yes.
The infinite source of everything, the infinite intelligence, that intelligence that's there inside and outside every single mote of dust in our environment. And as we start expanding our consciousness, I mean, Rumi wrote a lot about that.
Of course,
Because what it's all about is expanding from the 3D vision to the higher realms, where we start to see our connection with all that is.
Yes, yes.
And then as we move into that space, the only actions that really draw us are the actions that are for the good of all.
Right.
The actions that will allow us to be representing that archetypical sense of love and beingness at the core of everything and share that love in this world through what it is we're doing as our service.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Each one of us has such a unique opportunity to bring that understanding into this world. And I think that's one of the opportunities we have as a human being, maybe the greatest, is to expand our consciousness to that highest level of just beingness and then allow that beingness to flow into this world with our actions representative of that love and serving everyone we meet, because then we are served.
Because we're
part of that process. People sometimes, you know, mothers can give. But they receive that love from the child and the
feedback.
But still, you know, all of us are constantly needing that flow of energy through us.
Right.
Where we're giving and receiving, giving and receiving. And we're part of the whole process.
Oh, beautifully said. That was amazing. You guys are so succinct and beautifully said. And also, you know, you talk about the heart and the scientifically speaking, here we go again. You know, the heart has the 40,000 sensory neurons, which is more emotion and feeling than the brain has. So when we connect with the heart, which is, of course, the heart is feeling, the heart is love, the heart is the more we put out that energy, like you said, that's where it's at. That's where we as human beings have the gifts of becoming more than just the third dimension, you know, and all of the things that we value. We can become more, and we become more loving and giving and kinder and, you know, not even to mention manifesting what we want. We are amazing beings in our brains and our pineal glands, everything. We just don't realize how brilliant we are. But in your book, Sacred Geometry, going back to that concept, we have so much to attribute to the power of understanding the geometry. So how can we better ourselves and also the fear that we're all experiencing, not to be so throwing in some random ideas, but with what is going on around the hatred and the war. The wars always have been happening, but it just seems so scary now with terrorists, with hate, with proving that, you know, as you said, both of you, you know, I am better, I have more power, how can we protect ourselves? How can we maintain that higher frequency, guys? How can we do that?
You know, it's so important what you're saying and what you bring to the forefront here. And it springs right out of what our conversation was about. First, we start with consciousness, that everything is consciousness.
Yes.
And so we are created in that consciousness. We are also created to be connected. And so there's a lot of people that'll say to us, well, how do I protect myself from all these things that are going on?
Right.
And here's what I tell them. Protection is out of fear. Connection is out of empowerment.
Yes.
So the thing that we work on with all of our tools and all the things we talk about is to establish and maintain that connection.
Yes.
When that connection is right there and anchored in, my goodness, we have everything right there at our fingertips.
Yes, yes. And how can we, go ahead, Gail, I'm sorry.
And so, in itself lets us know that we can always get back to it, you know, because what happens with things like balance? How do we know how far we can go? In our balance, I remember I used to do work as an artist
yes.
in the Joffrey Ballet years ago.
Wow.
And I remember talking to the choreographer and saying, oh my gosh, how do they know how far they can go?
Right, right.
Before they fall. And yes. he said, when they fall, they learn.
Ah.
And that's important because when we extend ourselves, we learn from it. It's not a terrible thing that we've just done. We've stretched beyond what we have known before, what we may have thought of as our boundaries.
Right.
And in that reach, we find out what we can and can't do. But we also exercise the muscles and that centeredness and the ability to go further. So in everything that we do, when we are confronted with fear, and what we do is we get reconnected.
Mm-hmm.
Our strength enables us to be even stronger the next time. So what we've done, because, you know, what I found in all these years is that sacred geometry, using those principles and developing them into tools so that they actually are creating a frequency, a resonance that supports people in coming back into that centeredness, that connection. Like, for instance, Greg and I wear these pendants that are really filled with sacred geometry. You can't actually see it, right? I'll pull it up.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And so put it over here. And not only is it sacred geometry on the surface, but it's all kinds of antenna systems based on sacred geometric principles within it. So you have all these different things that are resonating that then go into a chamber that we have here on our land that brings that final coherence into this structure so that it can maintain the resonance. And what that does for people is amazing.
Yes.
Because, you know, Michelle, when you're connected, you have access to nearly everything that's out there. It's in our fear that we cut it off. It's in our fear that we actually slow down or hamper the flow of soul to our physical life, to our body. Yes. And that's our opportunity, is to maintain it, to keep it open. And because geometry, again, is a reflection, it is the, you know, it is the embodied principles of how energy defines itself into universe. What a better way than to help us come back into that place of that resonance and that connection.
Oh my goodness.
So in having these in our environment, these different tools that we have, in having these pendants on us, we find that people's lives change, their relationships change, their posture changes, their breath changes. They're able to be on purpose more.
Yes.
You know, their intuition starts to just skyrocket because they're accessing the natural parts of who they are.
That is so beautifully said, and it's true. And there really is something to be said about the energy of shapes. And I want to talk a little bit about your pyramid. And you guys are tuned into, I know, the Gaia Network and listening to so many of the, you know, interviews that they have regarding sacred geometry. And you are one of the world's leading specialists in the concepts of sacred geometry and how they do have power over our lives and shapes. And in recent Gaia interviews, I was talking with Billy Carson. I've met him, and he is one of the ancient Sanskrit and sacred geometric disseminators of ancient pyramids, of ancient, you know, whatever, petroglyphs. Also, if you listen to some of the interviews, there's some people, Emery Smith does interviews with people who work with the government, archaeologists who have gone down into the pyramids and found that whatever these civilizations were doing, whoever they were dealing with, there is an energy point that has been used down deep into, you know, the middle of these pyramids, which, by the way, around the world have the exact measurements as in Giza, all over the world. And there's something to the PowerPoint of those. So can you talk a little bit about your pyramid that you both designed and created? And yeah, I know that Gregory, you put a lot of money into that. I was reading about your pyramid. It's incredible. But some of the energetic responses that you have received from that.
Well, what happens, what you're referring to, is that first pyramid I built with a friend. Gosh, it was almost 50 years ago now, over 50 years. Bottom line, it had such strong energy going through it that it shifted the energy field in my body, where it catalyzed a Kundalini experience, which is where the energy from the earth starts flowing up through the body to open the different chakra points.
Right.
And I had energy flowing so strongly through my body that it was literally burning holes in my hands and in my feet.
Oh my God.
Just from the photonic energy moving through the chakra points.
Right.
So
incredible. Yeah.
Now, interesting thing that I didn't even understand at that time, but later on, what that did for me, the Kundalini, was allow me to open up to higher information and be able to converse with non-physical beings and get information and learn how to build things and learn from their perspective what is going on here. And that's what's been changing our lives and the lives of so many people. But for example, the face of the pyramid at Giza, the large pyramid.
That
triangular face, you can divide it into four similar triangles by dividing a line across the middle, and then you have one triangle going down, two little ones on both sides. And
That's like a Merkaba or something, right?
And
very similar.
Yeah, but what happens is when you divide it like that,
Merkaba.
A Merkaba is like a light vehicle, and it is the geometry that is literally like a photon of light, because light has geometry. We've recently discovered two Polish scientists discovered that light has geometry, and when I added up the number of degrees on that geometry, it turned out to have the same number of miles when you turn the degrees into miles and then multiply it by 100, you get the radius of the sun. So the radius, the diameter, the shape of the sun itself is resonant with the photon that it produces. And when you take that same number, 432, and square it,
you
get the actual speed of that photon.
Right.
Which
amazing.
Within 0.02% of what Einstein said was the
speed. My goodness. Light. Right.
But coming back to
I'm sorry I interrupted you about that. Back to the pyramid.
Back
the Giza.
To the pyramid of Giza.
Yeah.
That surface of that pyramid can be broken down into a cross where you have the phi ratio.
Yes.
And the phi ratio is the way human beings are constructed.
Yes.
Like if I were to take, I have a caliper.
Right.
If we were in a visual mode, I could show you how the tip of my finger compared to my whole finger, my middle finger, is in a phi ratio. My finger to my hand is in a phi ratio. My hand to my elbow is in a phi ratio. My head to my navel to my feet. All aspects of the way my physical body grows, the way plants grow, the way insects grow, everything is following certain patterns, and many of them follow this same phi ratio pattern that's there in the pyramid at Giza.
Right.
And then we've done things where we look at, okay, the diameter of the moon added to the diameter of the Earth gives us a geometry that is sitting right here next to me, spinning. This geometry has the same number of degrees as adding the miles of the moon's diameter to the miles of the Earth's diameter.
Right.
And each face of this geometry is equal to the face of the pyramid at Giza, the same angles, the same geometries. So you see, this geometry starts to connect with the same energies the pyramid at Giza was connecting with, the same energies as the dance of the moon and the earth together.
Yes.
And when we bring this into an environment and slowly start spinning it, what starts to happen is we get an energetic flow that starts going through our bodies that is resonant with that bigger field.
Yes.
So those things, like all those fears we talked about, But even more than the fears, it's like all the belief systems, all the judgments, the stress that we go through in our lives, that blocks those higher flows. The electromagnetic frequencies, the computers, the cell phones, all of the stuff that's working around us in technology, the artificial involvement that we have with the toxins and the nanoplastics that are there in even every cell of our body. So all of these things conspire in this dimensional world that we live in to block the higher dimensional world,
right?
To block
the
love, to block the consciousness. But we can kind of go around that and actually connect in directly when we have like what's going on with the pendants, which have a lot of the large three-dimensional forms that we found a way to compress that geometry into a two-dimensional form. We talked about that in our book, how we found different projections of three-dimensional geometries can give us a three-dimensional energy in a two-dimensional system. So then a human being exposed to that higher dimensional energy can start reacting differently. And we don't even have to be aware of it.
Right.
It just happens automatically.
Right.
Which is what, like one grandmother told me, what I love about the pendant is that my grandchildren used to run away from me when I visited. But now that I have the pendant, they crawl all over me.
Isn't that funny?
They're attracted to the energy.
Well, there is something to be said about that. And the ancients who brought us this information, and that you're now bringing this information to all of us here on LA Talk Radio, it's brilliant. And there's so much more. We're getting down to the wire here. We're going to have to wrap up in about 2 minutes. Isn't that fascinating? Here we are in the now, and the time's gone like a flash.
That's what happened.
Again, the book is brilliant. If you want to learn more about geometry, sacred geometry, the universal language of divine alignment, by my special guests here today, Gregory and Gail Hogue, they are really, I would say, the world's experts on sacred geometry. With your math and your studies and everything you all have done for over 40 years, to really bring this knowledge of ancient wisdom to everyone. Where can people get your book, find out more about you and your energetic ways of helping them?
Okay. Well, they can order this through Barnes & Noble or through Amazon. However, I invite people to come to our website, where we are selling signed copies of the book.
Good.
So we'd love to share it with you that way. And if you go to our website, which is iconnecttoall.com, so that's the letter I, the word connect, the number two, the word all, ALL.com. And then if you put /chapter, we're offering the first chapter on consciousness as a free chapter.
Beautiful.
So go to iconnectall.com/chapter and get that first consciousness chapter. And you can go in under the tab shop. You'll see all kinds of wonderful tools that we've been creating all these years. We'd love to share that with you. It's all there. We've got lots of videos and lots of stuff that we've created. YouTube is just filled with our stuff. So
great.
I'd love to share that with y'all.
Yeah. And it really is very powerful. I have a lot of, as a testament, I have a lot of geometric amulets that I wear. I have even crystals that have been fashioned into, and people are saying, well, truly, I feel the energy from those things. I feel that, the ancients were tuned in. where from, I don't know, but they knew, you know, those who built all the pyramids around the world with those exact measurements, those who've understood the Schumann frequency of the earth, the relationship of frequencies of the sun and the moon and how everything is perfectly aligned. I mean, these are real concepts and it has to do with geometry, people. It's the real deal. Thank you so much, Gail and Gregory Hoke, for being on the couch with me today. What a great show.
Thank you. Thank you, Michelle. We'll have to play again.
Absolutely. Would love to have you back.
Thank you.
Have a great week.
You too.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. Thank you for joining me. I'm going to run, but Dr. Michelle here, and do take care of yourself first, and you'll be great for others. Thanks for joining me here on the couch.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.